songs are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. It's really a privilege to be here again, another Saturday evening, to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are now in Matthew chapter 6. Last week I stopped at verse 13. As we were looking on the model prayer of Jesus. And verse 13 said, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So we see, people of God, we pray, asking the Lord to lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from the temptation of this world. This world, oh God, people of God, have everything to lure us into its traps. But we pray that the Lord will keep us from temptation and deliver us from the attacks of the evil one. His kingdom is forever, people of God. The kingdom is yours, and the power and the glory forever. So God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He reigns forevermore. All glory and honor and praise belong to his great name. And we say amen, amen to the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are going to pray and go into verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for allowing us, O God Almighty Lord, to be here this evening to hear your word. I pray that we will not be forgetful hearers, O God, but we will be doers of your word. Bring us to that place where we learn how to practice your word, O God, bringing forth here that change in our lives. Father God, we pray right now for those that are listening, O God, that they will be attentive to your word. O God, they will take heed, O God, to do what you say. I pray, Almighty God, for those that are unsaved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of who you are, Jesus. They will bow down and cry out, "Lord, I am a sinner, save me." So we pray that your word will go forth, O God, and do the work that only your word can do. For your word, O God, has the power, the ability to save. So I thank you right now, O God, for what you're doing in this season. Thank you, O God, for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Empower me, O God, to speak, O Holy Spirit of God, as you bid me to speak. So I thank you, I bless and praise and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we go on to Matthew 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. And the word said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So people of God, when we pray, we ask for forgiveness for others, and our heavenly Father will also forgive us. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." People of God, we have to take note here. If we do not forgive one another their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if somebody has done something wrong, you have to forgive them. Ask the Father to forgive them and tell them that you have also forgiven them. So we have to come to that place of understanding how important forgiveness is. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, people of God, we are in a spiritual prison. We don't want to be in a spiritual prison. We want to be free. We want to walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for us, people of God. He has set us free so we can walk in freedom. And when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, people of God, we are not free. Those whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we don't want unforgiveness to keep us in that prison of offense. We want to come to that place where we forgive quickly, forgive people quickly, forgive men their trespasses. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you fail to do so, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So we have to come to that place of understanding the words of Jesus. Every word that he speaks is truth. So we have to go by what he says. If we don't forgive, neither will our heavenly Father forgive us. So let us take this seriously, people of God. And let us get out of our spiritual prison by going and asking for forgiveness and asking the Lord to forgive those that sin against us. Jesus Christ on the cross, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, he cried out as they nailed him to the cross, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." So we also should have that heart of forgiveness. Let us not hold on to unforgiveness, for we will stay in that spiritual prison, people of God, and we will be ineffective. Ineffective for Christ Jesus. We want to be effective witnesses for Christ Jesus. People of God, let us follow our Master, follow Jesus, and we will walk in the light of his word. Look at verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6. "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that when we fast, so this is saying to us that fasting must be a discipline that all believers participate in. So fasting is not just for some people. Fasting is for all believers. He was saying that we should not be like the hypocrites do, the play actors. They are not real. Who go around with sad, disfigured faces that everyone will know that they are fasting. Jesus was saying, of a truth, they have their reward. They have their reward because everybody knows and everybody will praise them for being so spiritual. You're fasting, you're so spiritual. But they're doing it unto men. They're doing it to be seen of men, not for God to be glorified, not to connect with God the Father. Look at Matthew 6:17. But Jesus was showing us how to fast. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus was saying his example of fasting with the right motive and doing it the right way. We should anoint our head and wash our faces so that we don't appear to people to be fasting. No one will recognize that we are fasting. We are not doing it for a show, people of God. So this is a sacred act between us and God. We are not doing it for a show. We're not doing it for people to say how spiritual we are. So we have to come to understand that this is a sacred moment as we afflict our souls and cry out to God in fasting and prayer. This is a sacred moment between us and our God who sees in secret and will reward us openly, will reward us publicly. So we have to come to know and understand how, people of God, to pattern what Jesus tells us, to do what he tells us when you fast. So fasting is a must. Fasting must be done. It must be that discipline that you and I carry out frequently in our Christian walk. As we fast and pray, we are built up in Christ Jesus. As we fast and pray, we have strength for the journey. People of God, as we deny this flesh of our physical food and eat of the spiritual food of God, we will be, the whole man will be strengthened and replenished and revitalized for the journey. The journey is not easy, people of God. So we need to take time out to fast and pray and seek the face of God. Consecrate our lives to him and walk in the strength of the Lord and in the power of his might. Look on verse 19 of Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So Jesus went on to say, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So we see, people of God, when we are laying up so much earthly treasures, we know that they will decay, they will corrode. Thieves can come in anytime, break in, and take away those things that are so precious to us. But he gives us this method, what we should do with our treasures. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So Jesus was saying that we should not store up earthly treasures, where insects and rust can destroy, where it can easily corrode, and where thieves, it's a possibility that thieves can break in and steal everything. But we should do what? We should make sure that our heavenly account is rich. We should make sure that our treasures are stored up in heaven. And people of God, whatever we do unto the Lord, we are putting treasures in our heavenly account. Whatever we are doing as unto the Lord. So when we go out there and we help someone, people of God, we are doing it as unto the Lord. We are not doing it to get the praise from people. We are doing it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do unto others, you do unto me. We hand them a cup of cold water. We are doing it as unto the Lord. You are doing it from your heart. This is what you know. This is your Christian duty, to do good. So as we continue to do good and to live right, people of God, we are doing it unto the Lord. And we have an account in heaven. We have an account in heaven. That's where our treasures are stored up, people of God. And the word of God tells us that the Lord is coming quickly, and he's going to reward us according as our work shall be. So we see, people of God, that we should make sure that our heavenly account is rich, where it is always secure. Our heavenly account is always secure. Material things will corrode, it will rust, and they can be lost to thieves at any time. But the things of God is eternal. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18 tells us, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we should have some eternal account in heaven. We should have some eternal treasures, people of God, stored up for us in heaven. For all these things that we have here on earth is temporary. It is going to fade away. It's going to perish. But the things that we store up in heaven, people of God, it is everlasting. It is eternal. So we have to come to understand and have the right perspective. What happened? Many of us have the wrong perspective, people of God. We think that materialism will make us great and will make us famous. But people of God, the things that we do for God will last. The things that we do here as God's people will be rewarded, people of God. We don't want our good works to be burnt up. It might look good to people that what we are doing. It might look good, and they say, oh, what a good man, what a good woman. They are doing all these things. But many times we are doing these things to be seen of people and to get the praises of people. But Jesus is saying, let us have the right perspective, and let us do whatever we are doing as unto the Lord. Do it heartily. Do it from your heart as unto the Lord. And he is going to reward us. That's a promise. He is going to reward us, people of God. And when we are rewarded by God, we are well rewarded. And that's the reward that each and every one of us should be striving for, to be rewarded by God, to set up our treasures in heaven where no moth or rust can corrupt. No, it cannot corrupt or decay. It is secure forever. Let us look at verse 21 of Matthew 6. Verse 21 of Matthew 6. The word said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And people of God, this is so true. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where the things of value are, there will your mind be focused. That's what the word is actually saying. Where your things of value are, there your mind will be focused. And we see, people of God, the rich man is always focused on his riches. He has no other care but looking on his riches. Am I losing anything here? Am I gaining anything here? And he's always focused on his riches. But where your treasure is, where whatever you have is of value, where that is, where the things of value are, there will your mind be focused. So we want to be focused on heavenly things. When we look in Colossians 3, 1 to 3, the word of God said, if then you were raised with Christ. If. Paul said if. So that means many are still not raised. So if you are raised with Christ, seek these things which are above. So when we are raised with Christ, people of God, we start to live the new life which is in Christ Jesus. And now we find ourselves seeking the things that are above. Earthly things are secondary. The things of God are our primary focus. So Paul said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. People of God, we have to understand this. Where our treasure is, there our hearts will be. So if our treasure is in heaven, if Jesus Christ himself is our treasure, then our minds will be stayed upon him. We will be looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For Paul said in verse 3 of Colossians 3, For you died. When we come to Christ, people of God, the old man is crucified. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. We have to reckon ourselves dead to sin, dead to the world and its lust. We have to see ourselves as dead. So Paul was making it clear, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that's where your treasure is. Your treasure is in heaven. Your treasure is where Christ is. For he is our reward, people of God. He is our portion. He is everything to us. So where is our treasure? Where is our heart at this time? Is it on material things that will fail, that will perish, that will corrode, that will rust, that will be destroyed? Is it on material things? Where the things of value are, there will your mind be focused. Where is our focus today? Is it on Jesus Christ, the risen Lamb? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So Paul was pointing the Colossians in the right direction. And so the word is pointing us also to Jesus. Set your affection on him. Set your mind on him. For you died. When we came to him, the old man died. And our life, the new life, we are living a new life. Our life is now hidden, covered. It's covered with Christ in God. We are covered children of God. Let us walk as those that are children of light. Let us walk in the light of God's word. Let us come to understand, people of God, that material things will fail. But the things of God last forever. The things of God are eternal. So let us set our minds on things above. Seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Everything down here is temporary, but the things of God is eternal. For we are dead to the old man and his deeds, but we are alive, people of God. We are alive in Christ, and let the new man be seen in us. Let the new life be manifested in us, where our focus has shifted from material things, but our focus is now on Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us that the lamp of the body is the eye. Verse 22 of Matthew 6. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So the light or the guide of the body is the eyes. So if our eyes are good, then the whole body will have light. So we will see where to walk. We will be guided. We will not stumble. But when the body, think of it as the body of Christ. When the body of Christ, people of God, is practicing God's word, Christ, who is the light, will be seen in every area of our lives. Remember, the word tells us in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when the body of Christ starts to practice God's word, Christ, who is the light, will be seen in every area of our lives. People of God, we want Christ to be manifested in every area of our lives. We want him to be known. We want him to be revealed in every area of our life. So wherever we go, people of God, others will know that we belong to Jesus, for we will demonstrate Christ-likeness in every area of our lives. We want to be the light of the world that he has called us to be. We want to be the guide to the world that he has called us to be. Look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 6. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is Jesus saying here? If the eye is bad, no light can penetrate it. And the whole body will be in darkness. And when we think even of our physical eyes, if we have cataracts and all those things, no light can penetrate through. So we walk in darkness. We'll be blind if we don't have that cataract extracted. So we see if the eye is bad, no light can penetrate it. And the whole body will be in darkness. So what Jesus is really saying here, people of God, if our hearts are evil, think of it, if our hearts are evil, think of it as the heart, as the lamp, the light. If our hearts are evil and there is no place for the word of God to take root, we will all be walking in darkness, people of God. So if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is the word saying here? If we say that we have Christ living in us, think of it. If we say we have Christ living in us, who is light? Christ is light. So he illuminates, he guides, he shows us where to go. He's light. And we continue to practice sin. So if we say we have Christ living in us, and we continue to practice sin, we are misleading all those who are looking to us for guidance. People of God, we are sending forth a misleading message. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if we say we have Christ living in us, who is light, and we continue to practice sin, we are misleading all those who are looking to us for guidance. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill can't hide. People of God, if we hide our light, if we obscure our light, then the world will not see Jesus and will not come to glorify him. But we are called to shine forth our light. And if we say we are of the kingdom of God, if we say that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, he is light, then we should also practice righteousness. He is righteous. He is light. He is good. He is pure. Light is pure. So we also have to have that purity of heart, that pure life, people of God, that others will not be mistaken by our lifestyle. What we are preaching, we should be living. So if we don't live what we are preaching, we are misleading the world, people of God. We might be misleading those in our homes. We might be misleading those in the church. We might be misleading those in the workplace. Because we proclaim Christ, but we are living another life. We are living a life contrary to the light that we say we have in us. So if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if we continue to say that we have Christ living in us, who is light, and we continue to practice sin, we are misleading all those who are looking to us for guidance. People of God, we have to make up in our minds not to mislead people. If we are of Jesus, let us live that life that shows that we belong to him. You are the light of the world, people of God. And let our good works speak for us, showing that we are truly who we say we are, children of God, a child of the King. Let us live that life, that kingdom life. Let us display, people of God, the life of Christ in every area of our lives. Let us practice the royal law of love, loving one another, loving Christ and loving one another. We are called, people of God, to have a higher standard than the world. We are that city set on that hill. The world is looking for that landmark. The world is lost, looking for that landmark. Can't find it, people of God. But we have to be that city on that hill, that light that is set up on the candlestick, that those around us will see and know that Jesus Christ is real. The reality of Christ will be seen in the lives of his followers as we continue to practice the word of God. We pray this evening that our light will not be misleading, but we will truly reflect Christ in every area of our lives. Let us pray at this time. We have come to the end of the session for this evening. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you that you are calling us to be that light that you call us to be, that we will be that guide to the world. We don't want to mislead the world, oh God. So we pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you will enable us to live the Christian life, that others will see you in us and glorify your great name. We thank you again for your word and thank you for your people who took time out to listen. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' precious name. And we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Blessings, blessings. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.